Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
11 o'clock hour, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming on The Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to our buddy Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, SiriusXM, Fox Sports Radio. He does a lot of different things. Adam, how you doing?
Guys, good to be with you. And D-Mace, big fan of D-Mace, man, from the over the years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I needed that pickup.
His head won't fit through the door now. Thanks for that.
I know. I love it. Look, I love the number 85 for some reason. I have no idea why, but I always liked it.
So, Adam, we have a poll question up on our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. We've asked 10 different questions involving the Tennessee Titans this year, and the one we put up today was, well, the over-under for Derrick Henry in rushing yards, and we set it at 1,350. So 1,350 for Derrick Henry coming off the foot injury. How would you answer that? Over or under 1,350?
Well, it's 79 yards a game, which I would take over. I could tell you, you know, my first question to the Titans was this. Last time I talked to someone with the team was recently, and I said, hey, how's 22 look? And they said, like he used to look before the injury. Looks normal, which is good. You know, that's... When you look at that football team, and I have to give the coaches credit, the fact that they still held the number one seed, I still can't believe it. Just the way they manufactured the run game with Hilliard and Foreman was a great job. And now, you know, they got their horse back, so you know where the ball's going. No A.J. Brown, an unfortunate receiver, that does concern me in terms of how teams will play them. But it wasn't like they didn't know that Henry was coming and the freight train was coming, so... I would take the over in that, which, again, is only 79 yards a game. Here's the thing, though, and Derek knows this as a former player. You do ask yourself at one point with the accumulation of carries, now are we going to start to see him struggle with injury and so forth? This is his first major injury, and the hope is that this is it. This is in terms of injury, this is the only bad one, and he's able to regain what he once was.
Adam Kaplan is with us. Okay, you mentioned A.J. Brown. You're obviously familiar with the Philadelphia market. What has kind of been the discussion there with him coming to the Eagles, and what should be realistic expectations for him?
Yeah, it was definitely stunning. I know how much the front office and the coaching staff was close to him. Heart and soul of the football team. I know it had to pain John Robinson to trade him, but you know they had a contract in mind that they were going to do, and they weren't going to do anything differently. And I think, you know, the Eagles talking to them, they checked out, we know about the scopes on both knees. They felt he's going to be okay. I know there were some teams around the league thought that he might not make it past 4 or 5 more years, which is, you know, getting to his 30s, and we'll see. But so far, so good. Now, the Eagles love having him because they had missed on a couple draft picks, Jalen Reagor, who they just traded, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was a second rounder. Who was traded to Seattle, and he's now on Seattle's practice squad. So they had to make up for it with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And it's really remarkable. They've completely reshaped their receiver corps, which was one of the worst in the National Football League. And you got those two kids we just mentioned, and then you got Quez Watkins as their three. Guy you guys are familiar with, and Zach Pascal, who's a tough guy, as their four. So they've done a really remarkable job here with draft capital and also money and trades to reshape it.
We're talking with Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL. Now, Adam, we just had a discussion about Ryan Tannehill and Josh Allen. It started off with Josh Allen because of, you know, people believe this is his year to win MVP. But then I asked the guys the question, like, listen, can Ryan Tannehill, if given the opportunity, because those two guys, and I know Ryan's older, but they sort of possess the same skill set in a sense. I believe, you know, both of them can run the ball, football. I think Ryan chose not to run because he's getting a little older. But I think they sort of have the same skill set. I'm not saying Ryan is Josh Allen, but some of the skill set is there. If allowed, could Ryan conduct and run offense like they do in Buffalo and the Titans still win?
No, because And Mace, I'm a more of an analytics guy by trade. I just believe you got to throw the football to win. I get it. The you play to your strength with Henry, and running the football will only take you so far. You live that, as you know, with Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You got to throw the football. In today's NFL, the rules dictate it. The advantages that offensive players have, particularly in the passing game. And Tannehill is a guy, and I remember talking to the Dolphins about this. You don't want to put a lot on him. You don't want to ask him to throw the ball a ton. Now, could they ask to throw the ball a little bit more? Sure. But the other thing is, if they had better talent at wide receiver, mm-hmm. I'd say, okay, maybe we'll see about Burks. I know he's coming on a little bit after, obviously, not being available much in the offseason. But, no, they don't. A, they don't have the personnel to do it. And, B, I don't think he could handle a high volume of passes. I just don't think he's that kind of guy who processes well enough. That's been my understanding. Mm-hmm. He is also, as you know, I forgot, he's actually 34 years old. He just turned 34 in July, so you do worry about that as he gets older. But you are right, though. He is he's a big time athlete for the position. It's just he's not a guy that I think could handle throwing the ball 35, 37 times a game.
Now, with that being said, do you think that's the reason? Because when I look at the Indianapolis Colts and I look at the Tennessee Titans, I still give the Titans a nod in regards to, you know, the players. I know they lost Harold Landry, but even Huge. Before losing Harold Landry, many people still had Indianapolis beating, taking over the division from the Titans. And I just don't see that. As long as Vrabel's the coach and Derrick Henry's in the backfield and that defense is getting better, I can't see no other reason but the quarterback for people to think, well, maybe this is the year that the coach overtake the Titans.
Well, it's funny. For the first time in three, I have to turn my picks in for a couple of different polls that I vote in, and I'm probably leaning towards the Colts. Matt Ryan versus Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan, less likely to turn it over. He's extremely durable. I'll say this, though. The one issue the Colts have, and it's pretty significant to me, is their offensive line. It's not the line that we remember. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a new left tackle. In fact, a below-average left tackle. Whether it's going to, it's probably going to be Matt Pryor, who was a longtime backup for the Eagles. And then that does worry me. And right guard's going to be new, so that would be a concern. They have a brand new defense in Gus Bradley, bringing his version of Seattle's defense. So that's going to be a change. And the former Darius Leonard is now Shaquille Leonard. He's coming back from a major back surgery. He's getting close. I don't know that he's going to play this week, but he's getting close. So I think it's extremely tight in that division between those two teams. It's almost flip a coin. I just feel slight lean towards the Colts, but it's funny, as you and I talk about the Titans here, look, the Landry injury is obviously a problem, but if Henry's back to where he was before the injury, it's also hard to pick against him.
Adam Kaplan is with us, and Adam, another one that I hear a lot, and we've debated a bunch. We notice how many people nationally are giving the Colts the nod over the Titans, and we wonder how Mike Vrabel is internalizing that. The other one that I think is a big theme is the faith in the Chargers, right? Over the years, they have found ways not to do well. You know, it's well documented, but there seems to be a lot of trends that say Chargers could win the Super Bowl. Are you a believer?
You know, every year it's like when the Rams got to the Super Bowl in 18, coming out of nowhere in Sean McVay's second year. I mean, no one saw that coming. Let's not forget the Chargers lost the last regular season game to the Raiders. If they would have won that, they would have been in the playoffs. Now, my understanding is that the Chargers wanted to completely change their defense in terms of size. They wanted to get bigger up front. They've actually have six new starters on their defense. They're revamping it. They expect to be better. Their defense at times was not competitive last season, which was a surprise with Brandon Staley being the head coach. So they've revamped it. They're super, really good at wide receiver. Their offensive line's improved where it was really bad a couple years ago. They've basically addressed every situation. It's just that they all have to kind of hang in there and not get behind and not make mistakes. But, no, I expect them to improve, and that's a team that doesn't have a lot of weaknesses.
Adam, before we let you go, the Giants come here on Sunday. We know they've got a new coach in transition, all of this. Give me what you think we're going to see early here. Like, what will you be looking for? Because everybody here is saying, look, you've got to win this game. They're going to Buffalo in week two, need a W. What are the Giants bringing to the table?
All right, so they've got a lot of problems. They're deep at receiver, but three other top four guys are either nursing injury or coming back from injury. They have they're great at tackle. They're very weak on the interior of the offensive line. They're really coached well by Bobby Johnson. He's one of the better line coaches. He came over with Dable from Buffalo. But so the Titans will certainly have an advantage with their front seven against the Giants' interior of their offensive line. That's an advantage they have to win. Defensively, now, here's the thing, before we get to defense, actually, with Mike Kafka calling the plays and Brian Dable will assist, he'll be heavily involved. Getting these two guys together, they're very forward-thinking. You're going to see a combination of Andy Reid's passing game concepts. Kafka put together the passing game for Andy Reid for several years, and then Brian Dable, with all that he brings, so you're going to see them spread it out, a lot of three-receiver sets. They're going to challenge the Titans secondary. They're not going to coach scared like the former staff with the Giants. They're going to be aggressive. They're not going to worry about Daniel Jones and not picking up his fifth-year option. They're going to be aggressive. Then defensively, nobody puts us more than Don Wink Martindale. And I know the Titans believe that their offensive line is better than last year. And getting Lawan back, who's totally healthy, is ready to go here. So this is a fun game. Obviously, I would lean towards the Titans here. But expect the unexpected with Dable and Kafka on offense. To answer your question, there are going to be some things that they certainly didn't show on tape. And also this kid from Kentucky, Wandale Robinson, they absolutely love. He's a guy they're going to line up, run some trick plays with maybe, or certainly a guy they'll use in the backfield. But defensively, because they're not super talented, you're going to see them, they're going to try to make up with aggressiveness. And nobody has a higher blitz percentage than Don Wink Martindale, their D coordinator. So they're going to have some wins this season, the Giants, where you go, how do they do that? They're not as talented, but they're going to be very well coached.
Adam Kaplan is with us. Adam, appreciate the time as always. Always good to talk to you.
Good guys, thank you.
Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM, NFL insider, does a lot, has covered the league for a very long time. Coming up next, you'll hear from Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill as he addresses the media. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park here from Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
And then a little more time with the receivers this week. It was just fine-tune of side adjustments and those things?
Yeah, no, you know, we've been going against our defense, so it hasn't been a whole lot of nuances outside the normal meetings. You know, there's constantly that back and forth, but this is the first game plan we've had with a few of these guys on this team. So, you know, going through that process of what it looks like on third down, what it looks like in situational football against this specific defense.
What are you kind of expecting?
In the past about developing trust with the receivers and learning what they want and then learning what you want. Does the circle of trust get a little smaller and tighter on third down sometimes?
Well, I think just the course of the season, right? I mean, we started out with I don't know how many receivers and tight ends, and now that we're up to week one, you know, that circle has shrunk. So, yeah, there's definitely a natural process there of fine-tuning the guys who are going to be getting the majority of the reps with us on Sunday. And then specifically within that, you know, certain plays, certain guys are going to be highlighted or have the key adjustments. So just making sure we're on the same page throughout that process.
Question, big plays, how much of it is receivers doing more, gaining more separation, winning, and how much of it is what you guys can do scheme-wise?
I think there's a balance to all of it. You know, I think it all works together. It's cliche, but it's the truth. You know, you have to have the right play call to catch the right defense, then you have to be able to execute it. Have the receivers run a good route, get open, have time to make the throw, and then obviously make the throw in a good location to make the play. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but, you know, when you do get those advantages and you got the right play call, then it's up to the players to make it happen.
How imperative you guys do better in that department?
Well, we want to be effective each and every time we get a chance to execute a play, whether it's a short yardage play, a third down play, or you get a chance to take a shot down the field. You know, you only get a few real chances at it per game, and I want to take advantage of them.
Ryan, pass protection by any measure took a pretty big nosedive last year for you guys. What's your sense right now for how that was addressed in the offseason? How do you feel about that aspect of the offense going into Sunday?
Yeah, I'm excited about our guys. I think we've had a good camp. Guys are playing with a lot of confidence, feeling healthy. You know, I think that was part of the challenge last year. But our guys are playing well. They're playing together. They're growing together each and every day. And I have a lot of confidence in them in front of me.
On that point with Lawan, especially coming off the ACL last year, everybody remembers what happened in the first game.
Strike one.
What's your sense specifically for him and how different, maybe he looks because he hasn't had a rehab offseason, and also Aaron and Taylor next to each other in that partnership?
Yeah, you have to ask Taylor exactly how he feels. You know, I don't know, just from looking at him, he looks good. He's moving around well. You know, I have a ton of confidence in the way he's playing. And then, you know, Bruce stepped in. You know, he's a guy who stepped in for us in specific situations in the past, you know, at center, at guard, played some big roles in key games for us. And he's earned the spot to go out there and be our starting left guard. So excited for him, excited for this opportunity in him. And then, you know, Nick on the right side, young guy coming in, obviously has all the physical tools that you look for and has really settled into that right side. So, you know, excited to have all those guys in front of me.
And Traylon missed a lot of
Josh only been here a few days, but obviously you look at him, he checks all the boxes of looking the part. You know, made a bunch of plays in his career. So, you know, as he gets assimilated into our offense and learns what we're doing and what we're about here, you know, hopefully he can keep progressing.
Ryan, Traylon missed a lot of the offseason, obviously, but I guess from the start of camp to now, what kind of progress have you seen? How has he maybe kind of made up for some of that lost time that he had?
Yeah, you know, some of that lost time is tough. You don't get it back, but, you know, he's done a good job of trying to take advantage of opportunities he's had when he's been out there. You know, he's made some plays for me, you know, throughout training camp, down the field, made some physical tough catches, shown to win on press coverage, shown to win on off coverage. So has some range, tracks the ball really well. So I have a lot of confidence, even though we may not have the number of reps that we wished, you know, if he would have been healthy the whole offseason. He's taken advantage of plays when he's been in there, so I have a ton of confidence going his way.
Is it a work in progress for him and maybe for most rookie receivers, I guess, as their first year goes?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're constantly learning. I'm still a work in progress in year 11. So you try to take advantage of every day you get out there on the practice field. Every rep is a growing experience, whether it, you know, worked out the way we wanted to or it didn't. We can learn from it and be better for it.
Coach had mentioned the pain and discomfort he's kind of been working through in practice. Maybe it's not always easy to do that as a rookie, but how helpful is that just to kind of push him through that? Because knowing the season is long, you're going to have those bumps and bruises.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been huge for me. You know, give me a lot of confidence in him. You know, seeing him, you know, get nicked in practice and then come back and battle through it. You know, you can tell he's hurting, but he's out there. He's pushing through. I think, you know, we all gain respect for each other, and we know, you know, things aren't perfect and they're not going to be perfect, but if you can find a way to battle through and try to rally for your guys around you, it makes an impact. You know, we did that in the game, I think the last preseason game, where he kind of got dinged up and, you know, wanted to be back in there and show that he can continue to make plays even while maybe nicked up. So definitely a good thing to see from a young guy.
How much do you admire a guy like Cody Hollister's stick-to-itiveness, his resolve, you know, as long as he's been in the league and as little as he's actually played?
I mean, the guy's a warrior. You know, you look at, you know, what he's done in his career and in his time here, you know, just the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, but he shows up every day. He's in this building. He works hard. You can count on him. He knows where he's going to be. He knows what he's going to be doing. And so it gives the guys around him a lot of trust in knowing that, hey, he may not get every rep. He may not constantly be the guy that's out there, but if he does get in there, he's going to know exactly what to do and give us a chance.
For you as a quarterback, have you noticed, like, any difference in playing for a defensive-minded coach like Mike Vrabel as opposed to some of the other ones, maybe Coach Philbin or whoever, in the past?
Oh, there's definitely differences. Not going to get into all of them, but there's definitely a difference playing for a defensive head coach compared to an offensive.
What is it that you feel makes Mike Vrabel such a successful head coach?
There's a lot that goes into that. It's kind of a loaded question, many layers to it. But I think at the end of the day, he has a clear vision for this team, for this program, sets a standard and holds us to it. So if you have that foundation, and then obviously the X's and the O's and everything else that goes on top of it. But if you have that clear vision and everyone knows what to expect and what this program, what this team expects, and holds everyone accountable, then, you know, it gets you off on the right foot.
Ryan, you say you're still a work in progress. When, beyond just the last game last year, when you look back at last season, what kind of jumped out to you as something you'd like to do better, something you've worked on, something you kind of pointed out to yourself this camp?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to sidestep your question here, but I'm focused on this year, you know, just really looking forward to getting back out on the field, competing, you know, at home in front of our fans, at our home field, and, you know, attacking this 22 season.
Do you think this season sets the course for the rest of your career,
Ryan? I don't know. You know, I attack each and every season. you know, like it could be your last. You never know what's going to happen, and whether it's physically, you know, or something else. You know, that's kind of just how I live my life, right? Whether it's, you know, time with family or time with friends or in this situation, football, is you never know what's going to happen in life. So you got to attack each and every day with a purpose, with an intention, you know, being where your feet are and trying to take advantage of each and every opportunity you get.
Week 1, I mean, what's it feel like during the week, and maybe when you're standing for the anthem on, you know, before kickoff?
Oh, it's exciting. You know, you get those butterflies. You know, first week of the year. You know, it's been a lot long build up, right, through spring, through training camp, and now you're finally getting to go lay it on the line with your brothers out there. So, there's no doubt it's an exciting feeling, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
There you go, Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback. Sidestepping a few questions there, but you know.
And admittedly.
Yeah, admittedly. Oh, yeah. He said it. I'm a sidestep this question. I'm sorry, but I have to.
That's all right. You know, sometimes you have to. Coming up next, you'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. He spoke a little earlier, but we'll carry that for you as they get ready for Week 1 against the Giants. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Hear from Mike Vrabel in just a second.
Was that Derek?
Derek.
You sound like from New York.
I don't know why.
With the Giants coming in, is that what you're getting, a little New York in you? A
little bit.
Derek Mason.
Derek.
Well, hey, Derek.
You know where that came from?
Where did that go?
You. Because Plaz would always say Darren.
That's
where that came from.
So we did do that.
Our question of the day at 102.5 the game, will the Titans running back Derrick Henry rush for over or under 1,350 yards? 83.2% taking the over right now. So keep voting at 102.5 the game on Twitter or on our text line 615-737-1025. Let's hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Is a guy like McCreary who can play inside and out, and what kind of skill set is necessary to kind of do both like that?
Well, I think there has to be obviously a lot of match factors involved in short area quickness inside the slot. You know, there's some instincts that are required. You're seeing different routes. Usually the players that you're covering are different. You know, they have a different skill set outside. I think that, you know, it's more of a, you know, you're trying to, there's some contested opportunities and being able to be on guys, especially down the field and being, you know, having an opportunity to play through the pocket. You know, he's not the tallest guy, but, you know, he's usually, you know, close to his man.
With rookies like Roger or Nicks, Kyle, some of the ones that are going to be playing big roles, do you, as a staff, do you kind of let them know that the intensity is going to ramp up for their first regular season NFL game, or do you leave that to the players to kind of police that?
Well, I think that's just all part of the process of trying to get guys ready for, you know, I think the opening weekend is trying to give them everything we can out in practice, trying to practice how we want to play, showing them a lot of looks. And I think, you know, that's our job as coaches to explain to them that, you know, things are going to come up that they haven't seen, and they're going to have to work through it. That's all part of, you know, our process.
With so much newness from the Giants, how much goes into just, like, that filling out period initially in the game? Like, is that something that goes first quarter, first two quarters?
Or you just have to see how the flow of the game goes. You know, I think that's you know, we really don't want to feel anything. We want to go out and be aggressive and move the football and convert opportunities, especially in the red zone. It's going to be difficult, you know, but same thing on defense. I mean, we want to try to disrupt the football. We want to try to make plays on the football and force them into, you know, hopefully mistakes. That's what you want to try to do in every football game, and then be sound, you know, for things that may come up that you haven't seen. But I don't think we're going to go out and play cautious by any means.
Mike, you've been complimentary of the camp Ryan has had to this point. What have you liked about what you've seen out of him?
I think he's been accurate. I think he's been decisive. I think he's had command of what we're trying to do. I think his leadership has been really good.
Mike Bolton, is that a change from the past in any way? Has he amped up anything?
Well, we're just focused on this year, Gentry, and how we did this camp and what we're going to do today and what we're going to do this season.
Mike, Ola is a first-time captain for you guys on special teams. Just maybe how have you kind of seen him establish himself as a voice on that unit in the time he's been here?
Yeah, I think he brings a physical presence, and I've, you know, we've you know, Ole and I have, I feel like, have, you know, a great relationship since coming here. I think it's only gotten better. He, you know, carved out a role for himself on defense and really helped us at times last year. I would anticipate that continuing to happen, but not losing sight of what, you know, really his bread and butter is, and that was, you know, special teams and being a, you know, a physical presence who puts a lot into it. You see him, you know, talking to younger guys. You see him taking a leadership role, which is really good.
In the search for big plays from the passing game, how much of that is about guys playing better? How much of it is about scheme?
Yeah, you can go and check, you know, PFF, which, you know, I've done in the past, and it's about 70% guys making plays and about 30%. Damn, that's a really good design. So I did that one time, and I'm not going to waste my time on it anymore. We're going to try to, you know, have some good plays, and we're going to have to try to have an opportunity to go make some plays down the field or break some tackles, whatever it may be. So because I was curious, you know, what that number was, and so I watched a lot of them and said, you know, from my eye, hey, that's a, you know, schemed up play, guys running free. Didn't look like there was anything wrong with the defense. It just was kind of a, you know, a well-designed play. And then there's a lot of times where guys go up and make plays.
How crucial do you consider it that you guys do significantly better in that department?
I think it's crucial that we score points and win and take care of the football.
Coach, when you look at a guy like Saquon, he's come, I think, 2 years off of that injury. I mean, how do you stop a guy like that? And you know that that's kind of a bread and butter piece for them.
Everybody has to be at the point of attack, and by that mean he can, you know, take it inside, bounce it, jump cut. You know, if there's a crease there, he's going to take it. You know, you just have to build a wall. We, you know, when we played against him, it was a couple years ago, but, you know, our good plays were ones where we had the edge set and there was, you know, not a whole lot of space inside, and trying to avoid those opportunities where there's just one guy making a tackle on him, because those are difficult.
I know that first game, sometimes, you know, missed tackles, that can occur. How much do you guys emphasize that in practice this week?
Well, that'll be one of the keys of the game, you know, defensively. That's something that we'll practice. You know, you put pads on and, you know, looking for all those opportunities. Again, just to explain to them that we won't have as many reps as we will in the game today or tomorrow. But we have to start practicing and continue to practice like we want to play the game. Understand the keys, understand the game plan. Try to show them as many different looks as we can.
What are some of those other keys besides what you just mentioned?
Well, you know, when you look at special teams, you know, week one, we really focusing on the operation, the execution, you know, penalties. Penalties can be so critical on, you know, special teams. It's a difference in 20 yards, you know, on a punt return. And that's been a strength for us. We have to try to continue to make that a strength and do it without fouling. You know, offensively, I think, you know, we have to anticipate, we have to beat man coverage, and that's something that we'll have to do. So, Tron, I appreciate you cutting me off. Go ahead.
Well, you have a defense, like a coordinator like Martindale, that, you know, you never know who's blitzing. They always overload. Like, how much stress does that put on, like, your protection rules and just having to have those?
It's a long protection meeting. You know, it's you can't basically cover everything. You're not sure which package you're going to get. Each and every week, they, you know, a lot of credit to the players that they have. The scheme is very good, but, you know, being able to bring guys and essentially run the same pressure, but just from, you know, different guys doing it and different guys dropping into those zones or the man that they have. So they've done a great job of it, and it's certainly going to be something that we'll have to be prepared for on Sunday.
And then having a rookie right tackle, like, how do you – balance, okay, I need to help him out, I don't need to help him out. How do you balance that equation?
Well, we'll see how the game goes. And, I mean, there'll be protections where we'll slide to the right. There'll be protections where we slide to the left. And, you know, we'll see. We'll have to see how the game's going.
From what you've seen so far, how would you kind of describe mood, attitude, energy this first week? Maybe different from what you saw in training camp and preseason.
Well, I think Monday was probably – you know, a little bit better than training camp, but I would say today was much better. I think we all realize it's a Wednesday of the regular season in week one, and, you know, just trying to look to string some days together, focus on the day, continue to build momentum as the week goes on.
You think you've seen kind of big picture from Traylon maybe since the start of camp in terms of what ways he's progressed?
I think there's an overall understanding of what we're trying to get him to do, his skill set, and how it translates to our offense. Talked about blocking and his willingness to do that, and I think it's been good to see him play through a little bit of pain and a little bit of discomfort and want to be out there at practice, and just some maturity and growth and all those little details about just the daily grind of professional football.
Would Josh have a chance in a week of getting to the 53, or is it more? Will it
take every morning that we come in here, I talk to the team. I talk to everybody that they should prepare as a starter. So if that's the 16 guys on the practice squad or the guys on the active roster, they're all trying to and should prepare as a starter. And if we bring them up and they practice well, we think practice is important. And so, we'll evaluate that.
What do you look for in your captains, and what do you think about the group that was elected?
It's not what I look for. It's what the team and the representative of the team what they want. And I asked them before they went on the break, I said, just give it some thought so that, it's not just a random answer on Monday. I would hope that you guys would give some thought into who you want to represent your football team. Everybody here has a voice. But I thought, they did a great job of electing captains, and we still have a lot of good leaders, even though, they're not a captain.
And about the practice squad guys, do you have an idea going into the week who might be a candidate to be promoted and be up, or is that something that you just want them to be prepared and then on Friday you spring it on them?
I think through the course of practice, I think, if there's injuries, I think you kind of have a good idea. This week is probably a little different. But as you start to get into it and injuries and, guys understand, what role they may have in the game and if they'll get, elevated.
I've seen a story or two saying illegal contact is going to be kind of one of those points of emphasis.
I didn't see that.
No, I was just saying
that's certainly something that, what story did you hear?
From the Washington Post, actually, their reporter. Do you?
I hope not. I mean, the points of emphasis, we should stop using them. We should emphasize the entire rules of the game and clarify what we want done so that we can have 17 crews that are as consistent as possible. Enjoyed our visits with the four crews that we had here, but as evident by those meetings, one person sees it differently than the other person. What's roughing the passer as opposed to what's incidental contact at the helmet, not playing the ball, contact, what's enough, what's not enough. So, we'll try to just continue to explain to our players what's being called and function within the rules the best that we can.
Jerome Boger, just the right person to make that clear to everybody on opening day.
We can't control who the crew is. We'll go out there and we'll do business is being done and hopefully not do anything dumb that hurts the team.
Jerome Boger seems to be that guy, the Angel Hernandez of NFL referees. It just seems like people worry about bad things happening because his crew is, in fairness, rated lower than a lot of crews. But he is going to be in Nashville on Sunday. Okay, so a lot to unpack there, including the points of emphasis discussion for Mike Vrabel. Young secondary, point of emphasis is illegal contact. We're going to ask D-Mace about that when we come back. Stay tuned. We got a lot more coming. Don't forget to keep voting on our question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Derrick Henry, plus or minus 1,350 yards for the season. Are you a believer? Most people that have voted so far saying yes emphatically, 83%. Saying he will go over 1,350 yards this year. Stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jonathan Hutton coming up at noon. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Tune in tonight for Nashville Sounds Baseball at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. You can weigh in at any time on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You can also vote in our poll question at 1025 The Game on Twitter. The over-under, 1350 for Titans running back Derrick Henry. 83.1% say over.
A lot of believers. Well, a lot of believers. If he plays 17 games, he's going to go over, I think. But the key is, can he stay out there for 17 games?
But you're not a true believer, Willie.
You're not a true believer. I'm worried.
Man, he's not a true believer. Come on, man. You got to believe.
Look, he is. In order to walk, you got to believe you can walk.
Okay.
I'm looking at the numbers. The numbers are telling me. It's my head and my heart. My heart says he's going to go way over. He's gonna do it. He's Derrick Henry. My head, looking at the numbers, I'm a little concerned. I mean, Vegas put that number out there. I didn't. 1350. That's over-under in Vegas. And when they put that in, out there, they're thinking it's going to be 50-50. But, of course, here, as you would expect, everybody has a lot of faith in the king.
Well, I mean, there's nothing that I've seen, even after him coming back and playing that one game, there's nothing that I saw long-term that makes me think that Derrick Henry will just significantly drop off. Like, he'll go from being 2,000-yard rusher to on his way to breaking the NFL single-season record for rushing to all of a sudden now 1,200 yards or 1,100 yards or 1,000 yards. Nothing I've seen, and if anybody else has seen it, please show it to me. Don't tell me what you think. I want to see it. Because he hasn't shown it. Was he a little rusty the first game back? Absolutely. You stay out of work for, 8 months and then come back in. That's like us.
Of course.
Going off, not being on the, you may take a vacation for 3 months, Chase, and then coming back on air. You're going to be a little
exactly. You're going to be a little rusty.
You're going to be a little rusty.
That's you money.
But you're going to be a little rusty. That's what me or
I'm
you,
going
Willie.
To Spain for a month.
You're going to be a little rusty. Just like when you go back on air with
first
Predators.
Exactly. First Predators
you're going to
game,
be a little rusty.
That's why I always like being able to call one or two of the preseason games because that's the whole purpose. You got to work that rust off a little bit. Anybody who's basing their prediction on what happened in the Bengals game is making a mistake. To me, I'm throwing that game out.
Well,
here's what I'm looking at.
Well, here's it. Hang on that. How many yards did he have in that game?
Yeah, 61.
And he averaged over 4 yards a carry.
Okay. No, he didn't. It wasn't under four yards. It was under four.
Yeah. I'm going to trust you, Willie, because you're the number guy.
Let's take a look.
You're the number guy, so I'm going to trust you.
Look it up, Chase. But while you look up the numbers, I think he was under four. It wasn't a horrible game.
I know Foreman was over four.
Foreman absolutely was. Yeah. And, in his five or seven carries, he looked very good. But this is what is the current concerning thing to me and to a lot of the statisticians out there. For Derrick Henry,
62 yards, about 3.1 yards per carry.
Okay. 3.1. So 20 carries for 61, something like that?
Do what?
20 carries for 61?
Yep, 62.
Okay, 20 for 62. But to me, that's not the one to look at because I agree, the rust, that's not going to tell you everything. What people are concerned about who keep the numbers, his broken tackle rate, his rate of breaking tackles was exceptional back in 2019, 21.5%. In 2020, when he rushed for over 2,000 yards, still, 15.1%. Last year, it went down to 9.5%. Percentage of runs gaining 10 or more yards. An incredible 13.9% in 2019. Down to 12.7 in 2020. Still very good. Then last year, down to 9.1. So it's just there's a little bit of erosion. Just a little bit. He's still really good. He's still getting the yards. He had to work harder to get the yards last year before he got hurt. Now he's coming off an injury, and he's a year older. That's the concern.
But also, you got to take into consideration, the offensive line. What was going on in that situation, And with any running back, when you post numbers like Derrick Henry has posted, defenses are going to say this one thing. Listen, I don't care what they do. In the passing game, they can throw. I don't care if they throw a million, but we're not going to let that guy. You see that guy in the backfield, number 22? That guy that looks like he's 10 feet tall? we're not going to let that guy beat us. That's the one guy we're not going to let us beat. Let beat us. So what do teams do? They tend to crowd the line even more. So now it gets harder, whereas, you know, 2 years prior, it was, okay, Derrick Henry's a good running back. He's tough. You know, he's a good, solid NFL running back. The attention wasn't there as it is now. That's just like any good player that goes to great. It's like, yeah, he's a good player. We're not going to put too much attention toward him, but we know he's out there. And then all of a sudden, you start making plays, you know, on top of play. Now the narrative and everything switches. Oh, we got to make sure this guy doesn't beat us. And you tend to see a little drop in what you do as far as the productivity. Everybody in the NFL, you know, only one person that has been immune to that is Tom Brady. That's because he's not human. He's a robot. But anybody else, eventually, you know, and Tom has had his seasons where he's kind of went down a little bit. Eventually, teams say, you're not going to beat us. You can beat us with anybody else, but you're not going to do it.
So I love the feedback we're getting here on our text line, too, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We've got the Twitter poll, so get your vote in, and then let us know why you think how you do by texting us at 737-1025. It is important to note that he plays against a stacked box as much as anybody. Jonathan Taylor's right up there with him. But if you look at the Titans' offense on paper, there's no question defenses are going to do the same thing this year. So it's not going to be easier for him to run than it has been before. He's still going to face a stacked box, eight or more people in the box. I think it was 37% of his runs last year came against an eight-man front or more. And so who is going to loosen up that defense? That goes back to our first question of the hour, really, or of the show today, was who's going to help loosen up that defense? Who's going to give him some explosive plays? That's going to be essential if he is going to have that bounce-back season and have over 1,350.
I wonder, and you know, we can do this probably later on in the show or another day, but I think you do have these numbers, Willie. You may have them. As the game goes on, does Derrick Henry's yards per carry go up?
Or the
yards after contact goes up as the game goes on?
I got to find a clip. And you know which one I'm talking about, Willie, from SEC Media Days.
Yeah, Nick Saban.
Yep.
And that is what a lot of people who are texting are saying is, look, Derrick Henry, okay, I get what you're saying about the first half of the season. He was getting the yards, maybe the number. But what they're pointing to is when has the best part of his season been traditionally? It's been
second half, December,
especially. He's had some monster Decembers. Maybe that was going to happen last year had he not been hurt. But I do worry about he was about to shatter the record for most carries in a year at 27 carries. So that's the thing. Is he wearing down at all? And can he still put together a year where his strongest games are at the end of the season? Because that is the encouraging thing, right? What would have happened last year if he had a December and had a normal Derrick Henry December? He might have broken the all-time record for yards in a season.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. He's in the on-deck circle. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.